Well, good morning, everybody, or afternoon, or evening, or middle of the night, depending on when you are hitting play. This is episode number 58 of Corinth in Your Car. My name's Adam, and Josh is here. We are Luke-less today.
Luke-less.
We are Luke-less today. We'll, if he wants to explain why he's not here, we'll let him do that. That's his story to tell, not necessarily ours. And so I get to play driver today in this episode. I don't know. It's been a long time since I ran driver. I think the last time I drove by myself.
Yeah, I think it was the solo road trip.
It was.
Just a 15-minute or so helpful, what are you reading kind of thing.
So. Yeah, and I think that's what that was. So that was about 7 years ago. So, but it is episode 58. Josh, let's check in. What is your favorite Taylor Swift song? This is the most important question of the day.
The only Taylor Swift stuff I know is back from when I was in college, I think.
Okay.
Like a long time ago.
You probably know more Taylor Swift songs than I do.
I don't know about that. So I don't even know. I went off the top of my head. I couldn't even tell you the name of the song. Yeah.
So the reason this matters is because apparently
Travis Kelce jerseys went up 400%.
They went up 400%. He gained 400,000 Instagram followers overnight.
Yeah. But Taylor Swift, I think, is numbered something in, like, close to the top in the world. Of
She's followers. Like literally the most popular person on the planet.
Well, Messi actually has more Instagram followers than
Who cares about Instagram? Everybody knows it's T-Swift.
Worldwide. In America, I'm sure T-Swift has the most.
She's up there. And so it's crazy. So on Twitter yesterday, somebody posted a picture. I don't know if they thought that they were breaking news or not, but it was a picture of Travis Kelce. And the caption was, Travis Kelce seen in Kansas City. And it's like, yeah, water's wet. He is practicing in Kansas City. But so as of about 8:30 last night, that picture was posted in the afternoon.
Okay.
How many views do you think that picture had?
3 million.
9.2 million views of a picture just saying Travis Kelce seen in Kansas City.
It was Taylor Swift even that?
No. Just all the Swifties. And breaking news. Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce spotted in Kansas City during the week. So, it's a crazy thing. And also the breaking news is that she will be in attendance at Sunday night's game in New York.
Sure she will.
For the Jets
Chiefs. She's like a good boyfriend's, you know, or a girlfriend, like a boyfriend's mom kind of hangout partner.
Yeah.
She was having fun up there.
Yeah, she had a great time.
So.
And coincidence or not, she does have a movie coming out, so we'll have to just see if this is part of a massive marketing campaign or if it's true love.
I know, right. They were up talking about it on the news. Is this for real?
Yeah.
What else did I see? Just thought of it and then forgot it. So it might come up in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Just interrupt me whenever it does. Because like the Kelce Brothers podcast, New Heights, is the number one, the episode from just yesterday was like number one in every single category. I don't know if it was in religion and spirituality as well, but it was super high.
I remember what I was going to say now.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Luke was saying, apparently, there's a line from a Taylor Swift song from years ago that said, you're more than just a football player's girlfriend or something like
that. There you go.
It's like, well, now here, look at her. Here she is.
Yeah. So it was funny on Catching Kelce, which was the reality show that Travis Kelce had.
How long ago was that?
It was forever ago. He had like long flowing hair.
Yeah.
They gave him a question of Kiss, Marry, Kill or something like that. That stupid game.
Okay.
And it was Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, and Ariana Grande.
Okay.
And so this started making the rounds yesterday. So. He's like, Ariana, sorry, I'd have to kill you. And then Taylor Swift would be Kiss and Katy Perry is Mary. So everybody's giving him a hard time, you know, for that he didn't have the foresight. So anyway, that's important stuff right there. But Josh, let's just do a real quick check in. We go through the 4 days a lot in different environments and delights, strains, discoveries, determinations. So let's do a discovery. What's one of the biggest discoveries you've had or a recent? It doesn't even have to be big. What's a recent discovery?
I'll just list two. One on the fun end, we've talked before, just getting into the charcoal grill game. And so that's been fun to learn different, the two heat zone and doing the, even some smoking stuff just on the kettle. Not a smoker, but just smoking some chicken and things like that. So that's been fun discovering how to use that better.
Yeah. Have you tried the snake technique yet?
I have not tried the snake technique. I haven't had to smoke for that long, but I have the vortex. So it kind of volcano in the middle. All the heat goes up and then around the outside.
Gotcha.
So that's been good. Just last night, though, we were in the homemade class with the Bolins.
Okay.
And talking about how relationships should all have filters and just kind of he organized things into four different areas, desire, attraction, and then tolerances and deal breakers.
Okay.
So really identifying those. And there's lots of good stuff in all of it. But one of the things that really stuck out, he was referencing that part of your brain, the medulla oblongata.
Mm-hmm. Which an alligator doesn't have, which is why they get so cranky.
Yeah. he was saying that part, really, it only kind of lights up for three things. And he said that the first one is things that are unique. Second thing is things that you value. And thirdly, it's what threatens you. And so in the dating relationship, you know, you have all these things that are unique. You're learning about your partner and then maybe someday spouse, all that sort of stuff. And the danger is the longer you've been in a relationship, even though you don't actually ever discover everything about them, you think you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so you stop pursuing what's unique. And then it's dangerous because then you can, your brain can be lit up by things that you feel threatened by, you know, things that are negative. And so he said, you want to keep your relationship alive, really pursue things that are unique, keep on pursuing that and keep pursuing things that you value together. And so that was just really helpful, practical, you know, relationship advice.
Yeah.
I'm also learning that the Bolins are good cooks because they made homemade chili and cornbread and brownies last night.
So that's awesome.
To go along with the homemade theme, they treated us all. So
that's great. So discovery for me recently. So one is I just discovered this morning that in November that we fall back and not fall forward in time.
I was going to ask that question last week, actually.
So it actually really discouraged me because like, I've been waking up at 5 o'clock every morning this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just I'm awake. And so, but I was telling myself, I was like, well, that's okay. I'm getting trained for November 5th whenever the time changes. And then I was chatting with Carnes just a little before. And he's like, no, we actually, this is the good
fall
one.
Fall back.
I was like, so I'm waking up at 4 o'clock every morning is what I'm doing. So that was a discovery that did not delight me in that moment.
Mm.
But another discovery is I picked up Gordon McDonald's book, Ordering Your Private World.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read it. I don't know, a couple years ago or whatever, but just picked it up because I've been working on trying to bring some more just personal order organization into my life. And he had this concept that was just really fascinating. This is probably more preacher specific or maybe even teacher specific than it is general. But he talked about the idea that there are two different types of study that we participate in. So the first that he described was he calls it defensive study.
Okay.
So that is, so in the preacher world, Sunday's coming. I have a message I have to prepare. I have a deadline. It has to be done. Yep. Probably have a topic already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to study to have a message ready to go for Sunday. That's defensive.
Yep.
And he said, but there's actually another one and that he noticed in his life was lacking for a while. And so he made it a strong discipline for himself, bringing order to his private world.
Yeah.
And he called it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just picking a new subject to begin learning about so that you can get new ideas and things can flow from it.
Yeah.
And so it really just hit me as like, oh, wow, okay, I'm probably 98% defensive study right now.
Yeah.
And so it really just kind of challenged me to be able to pick up the offensive side of the game and try to figure out some things to be
that's fun.
Learning about. So I've been reading about focus and bringing order, organization, scheduling, those kind of things, just trying to make the most effective use of my time. Because productivity, this is another discovery, is not about how much you can get done. It's about learning to get the right things done.
Correct. Yeah.
And so, because you can be super productive and do all the wrong things. But you checked off a lot of things. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's a kind of a recent discovery there for me. And another discovery I'd say is I discovered, I think fall is...
Finally here?
I think it's here.
Yeah.
I do. I know that we're still seeing some...
Still seeing the 80s a little bit.
A little bit. But those mornings, these mornings are just fantastic. So
they are.
All right, Josh. So we wrapped up our Faith Under Fire series, walking through the letter of First Peter. We are in chapter 5, getting to talk about how we are prepared against our enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. Got to be ready for a fight. So here's my question, Josh, for you. So when faced with difficulty and confrontation, do you fight, flight, or freeze?
My joke, just because of my stature, you know, all 155 pounds of me, is that I can just outrun you.
Yeah.
So
flight.
So if it's a physical fight, then I would probably run away, unless. Unless it, like, my family's in the way, like, then I'm going to stand and I'm gonna be in the way of that for sure. So
growing up, were you ever in
no
physical confrontation fight?
Not like I'm going to meet you after school and you
at
know
the bike racks.
Yeah, that's right. So the funny story: my mom was ready for a fight on this one.
Oh,
because we had one car at the time. My dad had it, and she was baking cookies or something. Needed some eggs. Mm-hmm. And we knew some friends half mile away, something like that. And I was old enough. And so she said, ride your bike to mm-hmm. their house. And so mm-hmm. We lived at 32nd Street in Joplin, which was a busy street.
Yep.
And so I shouldn't ride down that street, but I could cross it and then go the back ways. And so I did. And kind of going through a back alley, some random guys just kind of cornered me. Do you know the story?
No.
So you don't know this one. Yeah, these two random guys. I'd never seen them before in my
life. How old are you?
I'm like 12, probably.
Okay. How old are these guys?
10, maybe, and they're 12, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, so we're like, yeah.
Punk. Kids.
And yeah. And I remember this because it was so stupid. They cornered me with the question of, hey, what kind of bike is that?
Right.
And it was from Walmart. So I said,
Huffy.
Huffy.
Yep.
And yeah. And then. So that was just the distracting question. And then they like punched me in the face.
Okay.
And rode their bikes off.
How many times did they punch you?
Just once.
Just once.
Yeah.
Each?
No, just one.
Just one of them.
Guy. Yeah. And anyway, so I was like, that's so stupid. Like, what just happened?
Right.
Rode my bike to the Rojas' house, got the eggs, came back and told my mom about it. She was like, what happened to you?
Right.
She was so mad.
Uh-huh.
And by that time, the car was home. My dad had gotten home or something. Or later that night, I kid you not, she put on a baseball cap. Glasses with like the mustache thing on it, tucked her hair up in the hat, and she went riding around looking for those boys. I don't know what she's going to do, but anyway.
Was she riding around in the car or on a bike?
In the car, yeah.
In the car. Yeah.
Megan and I still joke about that.
That's hilarious. Yeah. No, yeah, I was never in a physical altercation. I had several near ones. They were mostly sports related.
So I was going to say sports related. There was always, you know, stuff gets heated on the field.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love to say that I'm just a fight guy, but
yeah.
I don't think I'm a fight guy. I'm probably more of a freeze guy.
Yeah.
That is probably just like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
You know, are we really about to do this? You know?
Yeah.
So we're talking about just this idea of we do have an enemy that is prowling around and who is, that we need to be alert because he is trying to devour us. And so great message. Love the idea. Got to hear a name I'd never heard before.
Yeah, me too.
how do you, I have not yet heard you pronounce this guy's name. How do you say this guy's name?
So I'm going to pronounce it Evagrius.
Evagrius? Okay.
Yeah, of Pontus. So sometimes he's called Ponticus. Okay. Evagrius Ponticus. He's from Pontus. Anyway, I'm going to put the picture up there as well. But yeah, he was like a 4th century, like desert father, like monk guy. Mm-hmm. And the story was just, it was just kind of funny. Like, went out to the desert to learn how to fight the devil.
Yeah.
And basically his premise, which is what we started with, was just the devil's primary area, his arena where he attacks us, is just thoughts.
Yeah.
And so much of the time we can think that's just our own thoughts. And it's probably just a mixture of kind of our natural inclination and what he would sneak in to kind of twist our own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
but also put some malignant kind of, evil ideas, untrue, false ideas into our head.
Yes.
And so he had this book, he had a friend, I'm blanking on his name right now, but another one of the Desert Fathers.
Yeah.
He said, hey.
C. Grarius.
Yeah, that's right. He starts with an L. I forget exactly.
Lograrius. Legolas. It was Legolas.
Yeah. He said, hey, will you write these down? And so Evagrius did, and it became a book. And the title, I mean, what a great title. Like, where was the title?
What was that?
My goodness. Monastic Handbook for yes. Combating Demons.
Yeah.
And really, the main title was Talking Back.
Talking Back. Yeah,
yeah, which is good. You want to, kind of where we're going with the message is you want to overwhelm the lies with truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk back, not like a teenage attitude-filled
correct
kid, but yeah, you speak back with the truth. The truth will set you free.
Yeah. Hey, so one of the things that in your introduction that you were mentioning after you talked about our good friend Eva.
That's right.
was this idea of resilient disciples. I thought that was really fascinating there, that we've got a lot of folks that claim to be mm-hmm. Jesus followers,
mm-hmm.
but only 10% were what they called resilient disciples.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy. So, we're flying by the seat of our pants today because, you know, we're Lukeless. And
yeah.
so if you don't, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but so do you remember how they defined what resilient actually meant?
No, I need to go back and look at that kind of primary document source. It was, that study was actually referenced in a book that helped me
okay.
out with a lot of this sermon. The book was called Live No Lies, and it's a book by John Mark Comer, and really
John Mark Comer, that's a
Ruthless Elimination of
yeah.
Free. So his book Live No Lies, I think, is the most recent, but basically the lies part, which is what I was kind of focusing on, the devil part,
correct,
is just one of the three parts of it. Really, the world, the flesh, and the devil are kind of the three ancient enemies.
Uh-huh.
And his premise of the book is we have these disordered desires in our flesh.
Okay.
And so the devil kind of uses those disordered desires of our flesh,
uh-huh.
but then makes them seem not crazy because of the crazy culture we're living in.
Correct.
Normalizes things that shouldn't be normal.
Yeah.
So the world, the flesh, and the devil.
So I found it. I found it.
Good.
So resilient disciples are Christians who, one, attend church at least monthly and engage with their church more than just attending a worship service. So I'm assuming that's serving of some sort, maybe giving.
Giving, small group.
Yes, yeah, something of that nature.
Something else.
Two, they trust firmly in the authority of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Three, they are committed to Jesus personally and affirm he was crucified and raised from the dead to conquer sin and death. That seems pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
And then four, express desire to transform the broader society as an outcome of their faith. So they're seeking
yeah,
to change
good.
The world.
Good.
So only 10% of people would fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little discouraging.
Yeah.
Really, really is. But
yeah, and the reason I referenced that is because it's kind of like, you know, your joke about a while ago in a fight, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight,
yeah.
flight, or freeze?
Yeah.
The obvious worry there is that a lot of Christians, or at least say they're Christians, if a fight comes,
yeah.
are not going to fight. They're not resilient. They're going to.
Well,
fly.
Well, and I think that's why.
Or freeze, because they don't know what to do.
Exactly. And I think that's why I think it's in chapter 4, to where Peter talks about, don't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that chapter 4?
It is.
Uh-huh. Don't be surprised. And I think that's what catches so many Christians off guard, is that we are surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like, this sounds silly to say, I like how Peter ends his letter. he did a good job. You know. And, you know, 'cause he's like, don't be surprised about the fiery trials. And then as he's wrapping up, he moves right into the text that you're using of just like, because you have an enemy and you have an opponent, you have someone who is trying to harm you, to take you out. And so, we shouldn't be surprised that we're facing the fiery trials because we do have an enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I'm going to Paul's writings now, but you know, it's against the powers and principalities, the rulers of the world, the dark world. And so it should not be a surprise to us. And so I love your question. Just how prepared are you to fight?
Yeah. And, you know, to get back on what you were saying, wrapping up the letter, I got this from Tim Keller, just some stuff he was
putting Bingo out. Square.
I know. Right. I love the question. Is it possible Peter was changing subjects every line? Because like you go from humility to casting your cares and your anxiety on God, and then all of a sudden out of left field, stay alert, your enemy, the devil. It's like these are actually related.
Yes.
The devil is using pride, which is like the main sin, you know, that's what gets us in so much trouble. He will use that. And then he'll also use just the anxieties, the cares, the worries. And we have to be careful in that sense. What if we're holding on to our own anxiety or if we truly are surrendering it and giving it, which is that word. It was interesting. That word is like a transfer of ownership. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So transfer of ownership?
Give. Yeah. Give all your worries. It's more of a transfer of ownership. And so that's where the God box kind of came. We've used that illustration before, but just the God box of when you give something to God, you imagine you have a box, you write God on it, and you put that request in the box, and you're truly saying, God, I trust you with this.
Yeah.
And if you want to go worry about it again, you have to get it out of the box and tell God, I am more capable of handling this than you.
Yeah.
It's just anyway, that's kind of what he's getting at there.
Yeah, so. Which is a pretty bold statement to make.
But yeah, the devil is behind probably more than we think.
Yeah.
We don't want to swing the pendulum the whole way you know, some people be like, can you believe that? The devil made me
lose my parking space.
Yeah. The devil took my parking space away. The devil didn't let me didn't turn my alarm clock on this morning, turn my alarm off or whatever. It's like, all right, we got to be careful on that. But the devil is very powerful, and it goes back to, I don't know that I referenced this in the sermon, at least at this point, I might, but just the C.S. Lewis line from Screwtape Letters, there's two equal but opposite errors to overemphasize the devil or underemphasize the devil. And if he can get us to believe either that he doesn't exist, then he's already won, you know? But also, if we don't remember that Jesus is more powerful, then we've lost as well. So
it's great stuff. And the wrap up to the letter once again is it's just so powerful what Peter's able to do. So let's go to the application here, Josh. So we've got an enemy. He's prowling around, seeking to devour us. And so Peter's command is to stand firm, be strong in the faith, to remember that other people are going through hardship just as you are. And so those were kind of just Peter's commands there, but as we're starting to apply this and like, how do we do this? You walk through, and I'm counting again, 1, 2, 3, and it's 3 because it's a great sermon. three simple things, maybe not simple to do, but simple to remember.
Yeah.
Things that we need to do, that we need to recognize, we need to resist, and then we need to rest. So let's walk through those for just a little bit. So if we're recognizing the enemy, what are you driving at? What are you trying to help us do?
Well, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Satan should not outsmart us because we are familiar with his schemes.
Yes.
So really just for those who have been around church, a reminder of who the enemy is, for those who haven't heard this language, to instruct that really Satan is really a title. It's the Satan, the adversary, the accuser. I came across this as well in the Bible. He's called the Satan, the evil one, the tempter, the destroyer, the deceiver, the great dragon, the ancient serpent. Mm-hmm. And some biblical scholars think that when Jesus doesn't ever actually name him, it's like a subtle dig.
Oh, cool.
I'm not even going to give you a name.
Yeah.
Others will be on the other side and say, actually, it's a sign of how dangerous he is, almost like the Harry Potter, like, yeah. He who must not be named.
Yeah.
You know?
Voldemort.
Voldemort, yeah.
Voldemort.
But really just the recognition of, like, in fact, we've talked about this before too, just some like daily prayers, like a rhythm that we can have. Mm-hmm. And one of mine is to recognize the enemy. And then I have in parentheses, mm-hmm. People are never the enemy.
Yeah.
Because, but there is an enemy. And yes. So a prayer is to recognize every day, he's trying to trick us. He's trying to distract us. He's trying to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is and what he does. And his method, it's never like in the obvious things or just ridiculous things. Like the joke is the devil is not going to come to a Christian and be like, hey, do you know what?
Yeah.
Elvis is actually alive.
Right.
It's yeah. Like, you know, he'll get you to believe more subtle yes. things.
Yes.
So just to see that. And, the three main lies that he goes to, is to get us to doubt who God is, like, mm-hmm. man, God's holding out on me.
Mm-hmm.
God really doesn't love me. If God has a plan for me, why are these bad things happening? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
To get you to doubt who you are. So you're not good enough. You mm-hmm. are your sin. You're never going to measure up. And finally to doubt, what will make you happy.
Yeah.
And so, really, for that, that's probably been the biggest one that I think has been facing me lately is like, what'll make you happy?
What will make you happy?
Yeah, not that I'm not discontent,
mm-hmm.
but it's a season where I have noticed about myself that I am a little distracted with some things.
Gotcha.
And so maybe it is like, I'll have to check myself like, well, why am I getting out Instagram right now, or why am I distracted
right.
by this other podcast or whatever? It's like not really helping me, but it's
right.
I mean, it's not like bad stuff. It's just, is this really truly going to make you happy? And so one of the verses I've been going to the past several days is Colossians chapter 3 verse mm-hmm. 1, just if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth,
right?
Because above, that's where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so just recognizing what Satan is going to try to do to you.
Yeah.
Another quote, I don't think it's in the sermon, but if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy.
Yeah.
You know, just to
yeah.
get your eyes off of the prize.
Yeah.
And so to recognize what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
His method.
Yeah. No, that's good. There's a, and I you didn't need extra content,
yeah.
but I sent it along to yeah. you that there's a 17th century uh-huh. Puritan named Thomas Brooks.
Yep.
And he wrote a book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short book, but in there he details about 50 or so schemes
yeah.
or devices that Satan uses. Yeah. And the way he breaks it down is into two broad categories of temptations and accusations.
Yeah, yep.
And so I thought that was always really helpful for me. Is this a temptation? Is this an accusation?
Okay.
Is he trying to lure me away from something, something good or to something bad? Or is this just an accusation he's making against me? Like something I try to remind myself of is that the Holy Spirit doesn't accuse.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit may confront, but the Holy Spirit will not accuse me and say and slander me and tell me that I'm not worthy. Tell me that you know, that there are things about me that aren't true. Like the Holy Spirit will never say to me, it's like, oh man, I can't believe you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you don't have joy right now. A real Christian would never do that. You know, or a real Christian would never, you know, face temptations like this, you know, man, the Holy Spirit's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will call me to a higher level and the Holy Spirit will confront or convict me, but he won't accuse me. And so I think just remembering how Satan works on you, you know, like what scheme or devices does he seem to run to with you is really, really important whenever it comes to resisting.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some people, it is a lot of our mind games that is are the big temptations. Mm-hmm. Others of us, it may be that it's like literal temptations that are out there in front of me. It's just like your flesh is weak.
Yeah.
And so it's those types of temptations that are always dragging you back. So I thought that was just really, really, really helpful. And I love that we were able to bring in some of our learnings from like Power to Change, Winning the War in Your Mind, Crochelle as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I guess this is in the next section, or have we already talked about Groeschel's line, you cannot defeat what you don't define.
We are wherever we want to be.
But yeah, that's, of course, you know, great that he has come up with a good one-liner like he always does.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you can't defeat what you don't define. A long time ago, it was the Art of War. That was the book by Sun Tzu, I guess, is how you say his
name.
So
we're saying it today,
anyway,
man.
Anyway, yeah. This was just a fascinating quote to me. He said, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, then you don't need to fear anything. Like, mm-hmm. you could be in 100 battles, you're going to win them all, is what he said. But if you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, then you will lose every battle.
Right.
And, I mean, that's not, like, scripture.
Yeah.
But it is nevertheless true.
Yes.
When we know the identity that God has given us and how Satan will attack us, we're set up for victory.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
It's when we forget.
Yes.
How Satan works and we forget what God has said about us where we lose every time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're going to recognize the enemy. We're going to resist the enemy. And we've talked a little bit about this already, but I love the Navy SEAL line there. You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches would use something very similar to that as well. I'm reminded of the Coach Armstrong line of easy practices, hard games, or hard games, easy practices kind of things. And so what are some ways, and we're going to go ahead and hit the bingo square of rhythms, and we'll just go ahead and start throwing that out there, but of training ourselves to identify the lies of wrong thinking so that we are able to resist the enemy. What are some of the ways that you kind of just reminded us of? You were talking about an alarm on your phone.
Yeah, so I have... I've recently set an alarm. It's for 11:50 a.m.
Okay.
So right before lunch. And
you have it silenced on Sundays?
It's only Monday through Friday alarm.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. So it's not going off in the middle of the sermon. Yeah, that's great. That's just a reminder to anybody who's listening.
Yeah. I might turn it on this week just for the sermon. Yeah. Not really.
You're preaching. You can interrupt yourself. That's right. That's fine.
But no, it's just an alarm, and I've just try to stop and really not taking long, but just, I guess the practical things would be just to maybe remind myself of a few truths, like those of scripture. Like I just read a while ago, Colossians 3. If you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above. Or this one has been on my mind recently too, just the trustworthy saying that one of them that Paul writes, saying like Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst.
Right.
So that's that line is an encouragement to me, more of a discouragement.
Right. Because
it's like when I remember, I am present state of having been, I am continually the worst. That's what that word means.
Right.
And yet so loved that Jesus died. And so that's just a good reminder, humbling reminder. So maybe a midday alarm. I think I love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, we capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And so that's a way we've talked about before, just daily declarations,
right,
things like that. And these are different, you know, affirmations are big right now,
right,
where people are like positive self-talk, and there is value in that.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you just stick with positive self-talk, you don't get the full experience of what you really actually need.
Right.
But, you know, that's good, but it's training ourselves. And so establishing new habits, it's not necessarily about the number of days you do it. It's more about how often you do it.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
And so, but we can train ourselves. And so just I did read a couple of those, you know, the monastic handbook for combating demons. Mm-hmm. And really what was interesting about that book is a few centuries later, I think it was a few centuries, that his book, it was against the thought of, you know, blank, blank, blank. It was like eight of them, but one of the next popes cut them down to seven, and it became the seven deadly sins is what it did.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where some of that is kind of what helped form the seven deadly sins. So you have, you know, anger or fornication,
right,
gluttony. And really what he did is just every single one of those is categorized from Genesis to Revelation. Just what does this book say about it? And it's all scripture. And so I think that's the biggest thing is we replace the lies with the truth of scripture. And that's, you know, that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
His example.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
It is written. So
fantastic. Fantastic. So we're going to recognize, we're going to resist. And then once again, it's got three, they all start with R. And so it's an excellent sermon, A plus, Josh. We're going to rest in God's promise. And so just walk us through real quickly on this one. What does this look like?
He ends the letter the same, like on the same place where he begins it, just mm-hmm. with peace. In fact, I didn't read this one, but verse 14 of chapter 5, he just says, "Peace be with you."
Mm-hmm.
And verse 2 of chapter 1, he just says, "Peace be with you." You know, and so bookended, this letter is bookended with peace, and we can have peace because of what we know the suffering is doing in us.
Mm-hmm.
And all through the letter he has reminded, Peter's reminded us that suffering is inevitable, but
correct.
So is glory.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus suffered, so will we. Just like Jesus was raised, so will we be.
Mm-hmm.
And so verse 12 says, "My purpose in writing to you is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing," this was just wild, "truly part of God's grace
mm-hmm.
for you. So stand firm in the grace." Earlier he said, "Stand firm against the devil."
Uh-huh.
Here he says, "Stand firm in the grace."
Yeah. So instead of standing firm against grace, we're going to stand firm in it.
Mm-hmm.
And grace means it's a gift.
Yeah.
And so,
well, earlier in First Peter, yeah, it's your inheritance is guarded in heaven for you.
Yeah.
God is military. It's a military word. He's guarding it in heaven for you.
But yeah, but so is that what you are experiencing is truly a part of God's gift
mm-hmm.
for you. It's a mm-hmm. part of his plan to make you more like Christ,
mm-hmm.
to make us more like Christ. And so he's shaping us to be the people that he needs in order to impact and to change the world.
Yeah, we've used the line a couple times in this series, "You are being shaped
mm-hmm.
to be sent."
Yes.
There's always a purpose and a pain.
Yep.
And, you know, figuring out God's sovereignty in the midst of pain is sometimes hard and sometimes impossible because mm-hmm. we don't actually know. Sometimes God makes things happen. Sometimes God allows things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I guess, as people say, this side of glory,
and we don't
might,
know the difference.
Might not ever know
yeah.
in some of those things. But we do know that whatever it is, whether he planned it or whether he used it,
mm-hmm.
that he is using it. That's what we know.
Right.
So,
yeah. So great. And so the truth will set you free. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good line. Did you come up with that on your own?
No. Jesus said that one.
Oh!
Stole it from him.
Okay.
Well, you will know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth will set you free.
And the truth will set you free.
And so really, I mean, that's like a double,
yeah.
kind of a double meaning is yeah. because it's not telling the truth doesn't set you free.
Right.
Knowing the truth, and Jesus is the truth.
Yes,
he is the way,
the
truth,
yeah.
and the life. And he is what sets you free. And I don't know, a while ago you were joking about, you know, three points.
Yeah.
Something, you know, I wish there was more time on. I was fascinated by and trying to figure out if this was really going to fit in
mm-hmm.
or not, was when he said, "Remember your brothers, your family around the world."
Yeah.
So I actually did a little bit of exploring this week. This is kind of an extra thing if y'all listeners want to go to it, just persecution.com.
Yeah.
And you can go look at just stories and what it's like to be a Christian in all sorts of countries. And the persecuted countries, they divide them into hostile or closed.
Okay.
And so hostile, mm-hmm. It's just, it's hard.
Right.
But closed is like, it's illegal.
Okay.
And all around the world today, people are hunted down, they're killed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of countries, it's not even the state will kill you.
Yeah.
Or put you in prison. But it's really, if you become a Christian, your family is coming after you first.
Right.
Because it's just, you know, the official state religion is Islam.
Right.
Often is what it is. And it's hatred towards Christians. And so that was something intriguing to me that it was kind of going to be a shoehorn or a side topic.
Correct.
But that's, that's also worthy of noting here.
Yeah.
It's not just that you're resisting the enemy or recognizing him or resting. You could throw in another R of just remember.
Like,
remember. And I'm inspired whenever I hear stories of people, and that makes me kind of want to stand for more is when I remember others.
Correct.
So
what was that website again, Josh?
Persecution.org or .com.
.com. Okay. So it's Voice of the Martyrs.
Voice of the Martyrs.
Voice of the Martyrs, persecution.com. I've got the website pulled up right here. If you are looking for things to add to your prayer list, I mean, this really will. It will help you just kind of gain perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that even ties into last week's message of it's like, we've moved into this negative world here in America. But I think it's the author of Hebrews, and we may have referenced this last week, but we haven't suffered to the place of shedding blood yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are places in the world to where you live a Christian life, you follow Jesus, and you can end up losing your life and suffering harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering our brothers and sisters who are doing that, who are facing that as well, is a part of standing firm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a part of having a resilient faith.
Yeah. And even I'm remembering this now. I think it's in one of the Thessalonian letters. Paul says, "You helped me by your prayer."
Mm.
And it's powerful to think about. You feel powerless.
Right.
Like, well, I can't help anybody in, Eastern Africa.
Right.
Or, in Iraq or over in Indonesia. Like, but you can. And prayer is a real thing. And it's something we tend to forget. And just self-confession. Like, I need to do a better job of remembering my brothers and sisters that are suffering.
Absolutely. Same here. And I would think that probably many of our listeners would agree with that as well. It's easy to forget.
Yeah, so persecution.com, check it out.
And, Voice of the Martyrs. They've got a magazine that you can sign up and get it for free if you want to have that delivered to you. And,
And I actually did that yesterday. I signed it for free. But yeah, you can read all the country profiles, and it's really a nice little resource there.
Oh, it's fantastic. I remember being introduced to that probably 22, 23, 24 years ago, because they came to chapel at Ozark Christian College and did a presentation. And so it really is a great way to just kind of stay in the loop with what is going on with our brothers and sisters. These are people we're going to that we're going to meet in heaven. And
so a really old resource is Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember as a teenager, the DC Talk put out some books called Jesus Freaks.
Yeah.
There was actually two of them, volume one and volume two, and they told modern day stories of martyrs.
Yep.
Because back then, and I believe the stats probably are still true, that there was more Christians who died for their faith in the past 100 years.
Yes.
Than the previous 1900 years combined.
Yes.
And so persecution is a very real thing today, much more than part of that's because the world population, of course, is much
higher. The number of Christians is higher. I mean,
but it just puts things into perspective. Like, this isn't just a Bible times thing. This is more so true now. And so I know we're off on a tangent now.
No.
But it's inspirational, and maybe you could pick up one of those books too.
Yeah, no, and I don't know that we are on a tangent because we are talking about. You know, how we are able to stand firm, and part of recognizing, resisting, and resting is just having that remembrance that this is something that is really, really, it is real.
Yeah, and I remember one of those stories in the Jesus Freaks book. There was a little girl who had become a Christian, and the state authorities were trying to get her to kind of recant her faith mm-hmm. and say she didn't believe and she wouldn't. And I remember it just stuck out to me, probably because I was a younger person at the time and reading about a child who was being persecuted. And they took a flame of some sort
mm-hmm.
And just held it underneath her hand.
Mm.
So, I mean, just a slow burn
right.
is what it was, trying to get her to recant and never did. So,
yeah,
just yeah. crazy.
Crazy, powerful stuff that painful to hear, but inspiring
mm-hmm.
and continues to give us the hope that we have. So our challenge is we're going to fight one lie. We're going to just identify what maybe has us under fire right now, that maybe our accuser, the diablos, the devil is throwing at us, and we're going to overwhelm it with truth. So great stuff, man. Great stuff. So hopefully this series was helpful for everybody. It's always fun to be able to just walk through a book of the Bible and be able to just kind of give it some, to be able to expose it, to
yeah.
pull out some just truth and, really help us see that dusty old book's not so dusty. And it's got a lot of just great application points for us, which shouldn't be a surprise. It's the very word of God. So
random story. You said that dusty old book.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, Jordan, he told a story in college. His dad was listening to a country song.
Okay.
And the country song, the lyrics, it said, "There might be a little dust on the bottle."
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yep.
And I forget what came after that. Something, it gets...
But don't let it fool you about what's inside.
But don't let it fool you about what's inside. It gets sweeter with time or something like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So obviously he was talking about like a bottle of wine, but... old Rick, he didn't hear it correctly. He thought they were singing, "It might be, there might be a little dust on the Bible."
On the Bible.
Don't let it fool you. Yeah, and so even if there is dust, it's getting sweeter. You need to open it up and read it, you know?
Yeah, and so that is to everybody there who thinks that Josh and I grew up and we're Yankees. We are not
right.
Yankees. We grew up in an area where people thought whenever they heard a song, might be a little dust in a bottle, they heard dust on the Bible.
On the Bible.
Bible. Yeah. Bible, because we are from, we're from the Midwest, but we were from the southern part of the Midwest.
That's right.
So, anyway, so great stuff. Next week, we're going to start off a brand new series called The Generous Life, and so I am actually excited about it and looking forward to it. I think I'm actually doing all 3 weeks of that one, so mm-hmm. Be some good stuff, learning to be just generous people. So, hope that y'all will check in and tune us out. Tune in.
That's right.
Check in. Check us out for it, and we're gonna have a good time there. So, Josh, here as we wrap up today. I told you I had no clue what we're going to do.
That's right.
So there's we're lukeless, and so we're listless, and we are directionless whenever it comes to this. So I'm just gonna go to my old youth minister roots, and we're just gonna do a few would you rathers.
All right.
And I'm just going to scroll through this page, make sure I find an appropriate one. And so here we go. Oh, that one's too easy. This is, would you rather not have a cell phone ever again or never be able to gossip again? And that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Christian, so
So I'd rather not have a cell phone.
<That's right>.
So I got to share a prayer request somehow.
Yeah, I got to.
here we go. Would you rather someone read from your journal or someone read your text messages?
Probably my text messages.
Okay.
Trying to think. Yeah. I guess, yeah.
I think I'd rather them read my journal because I'm pretty vague in my journal, and sometimes.
Well, you're right on that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So here we go. Would you rather? Oh gosh, that's a stupid one.
You did text me on accident one time instead of Jennifer.
Yes, but it was completely appropriate.
A picture of boots.
Yes.
And they did look good.
Yeah, they were good boots. They were good boots. So here we go. Would you rather? Oh my gosh, these are so stupid. What kind of website? These people.
Here, I got one.
Okay.
Would you rather find a Band-Aid at the bottom of your soup.
Yeah.
Or take a bite of food only to later discover there was a hair that you swallowed halfway, but it's still in your mouth.
Yeah. So that is a question that is just wrong, number one. And so I would say most definitely the hair.
I would say so, because the Band-Aid is used, yeah.
The Band-Aid is used, and so that is a major problem, and that would be there. So would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future? What is that? Hmm. What?
I think I would rather... It's kind of a weird question.
It is a very weird question. Ignore that. Would you rather be forced to sing along or dance to every single song you hear?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Sing along, because I dance like Elaine from Seinfeld.
Okay. All right. So that means every single song that you hear, you've got to sing along with it no matter what. Okay.
That's fine.
Would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed?
Well, over. I can always take stuff off, right?
No, so we're talking like dressed up or...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this means like...
Go to a wedding and
you're going to a wedding and you've got a tank top and shorts on, or, you know, you're going to the beach and you've got a suit on. So which one would you...
Overdressed?
I think so. I think that'd be less embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd want to be respectful of people on that. So would you rather give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life or the internet?
Oh, AC and heating for sure. I mean. The internet fuels so much stuff that we do now.
Yeah, I think it would be really hard. To give up. That's crazy. Yeah. Can you imagine asking your grandparents that question?
There would be no flinch.
Yeah.
The internet. I'll give it the internet.
What is the internet?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Is that the World Wide Web?
The World Wide Web. Is that www that thing? So, would you rather be an extra in an Oscar-winning movie or the lead in a box office bomb?
Extra.
Okay.
Yeah. That's more my style anyway, though, so.
Yeah. Would you rather wear the same socks for a month or the same underwear for a week?
Ooh.
Yeah. This is a funky one.
Same. Oh, for a month?
Yes.
Man. Is the week in winter or summer? Winter week, I'll get underwear. What's your answer?
It would probably be the same underwear for a week because it's only 7 days. I can do anything for 7 days. But a month, and as much as my feet sweat, I cannot. I mean, I'll go through two or three pairs of socks in a day the way it is. So.
Sometimes, yeah.
And if I'm working out and if I'm playing golf or if I'm doing any of those other kind of things, I got to wear that same pair of socks? No.
All right, here, I have a would you rather for you.
Okay.
Would you rather give blood or go to the doctor and have him check your mouth with a tongue depressor?
Who's taking the blood? I mean, am I going to the doctor for them to take blood? Red Cross? I would probably do give blood. I hate tongue depressors. That's awful. So, all right, here we go. Would you rather find a rat in your kitchen or a roach in your bed?
Ooh, in the sheets?
Yeah.
So people might not agree with this, but I'm not as grossed out by roaches as some. I don't think I would like a rat in the kitchen. That would be disgusting.
Yeah, because we're talking a rat, not a mouse.
Because it's a rat, and you can make the same argument about roaches. There's probably more.
Yeah.
But a rat is so big.
Yeah.
I'm going to say roach.
Okay. All right.
Plus, I think what a roach can't really do much to you. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's more like scary on the outside. But a rat, I mean.
I don't know. Have you seen Men in Black? I mean, that's a pretty scary roach, bro.
Have you seen The Princess Bride? Rodents of unusual size.
That's hilarious. Well, I think that's probably enough because some of these are just stupid. So, but hey, it has been great to have y'all tune in, and we are really grateful for you. We are excited to see you on Sunday. Let me see. So
October.
It'll be October 8th. October's a great month.
Well, this is the first. October
1st. So this is the first, but yeah. So by the time you hear this, we're excited to see you on the 8th.
That's right.
For week one of The Generous Life. And really hope to have you in. I know it's the beginning of fall break. You got fall break plans?
We're just going to go to the lake for like a day.
A day?
Yeah, just going to hang out, have some slow down.
Lake Michigan or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for a day. Just drive up, come back.
Sinclair, I think.
Lake Sinclair.
So actually, we do have a wedding we're going to on fall break. Our case manager from foster care, Olivia, is getting married. And so excited for Olivia and her husband to be and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be fun.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you have a great fall break. I hope everybody still comes to church, even though it's fall break.
Yeah. So when's Ozark's fall break?
I don't know.
Is Jaden going to?
No.
She'll stay out? For,
yeah.
Is that during volleyball season still?
I think so.
So they have fall break, but they still play games. So
you will be amazed once they turn like 19 or 20. I have zero idea what's going on. So I don't know. So if she texts me and says, like, hey, can I come home? I'll be like, nah, stay there. So, all right, Josh, one last would you rather. Would you rather Danny DeVito or Danny Trejo play you in a movie?
I don't even know who Danny Trejo is.
Oh, my goodness. That? So you would have to look him up. He's a Hispanic actor and he's been in a lot of stuff that you would
probably know him. If
you would
know
if you saw him. He was in Men in Black. I would rather have Danny Trejo because he's a bad dude, man.
Okay.
Bad dude.
All right.
And I don't want anybody that's under 4 foot tall portraying me in a movie. So.
That's right.
Anyway, all right, y'all have a great week. Blessings on your head, and can't wait to see you again soon.